Coming up next on the Holistic Wealth Podcast.
In my past, because I was unhappy in my previous role as an administrator and living in New York, before I moved to Florida, before I received coaching and I was single, I would spend impulsively. I would buy an expensive car impulsively just because I felt like it. I would buy very expensive bags impulsively. Now I'm a little different. So can someone's identity change in personal finances is my question.
You're listening to the Holistic Wealth Podcast with host Keisha Blair, author of Holistic Wealth and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. And now, here's your host, Keisha Blair.
Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast, and I'm your host, Keisha Blair, and today we have a very special episode. We have Brooke Schnittman with us, and Brooke is an esteemed expert in the field of ADHD management and support, renowned for her unwavering dedication to empowering individuals with ADHD to overcome challenges and achieve their full potential. With over two decades of experience, Brooke has worked closely with thousands of individuals with ADHD, utilizing her comprehensive knowledge and expertise to guide them towards success. Brooke, it's so great to have you here on the show. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Keisha, for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Brooke, I've been following your work. I really admire the work that you've been doing to shed light on ADHD and to, you know, help your clients and students and just the general population.
Thank you.
And so I wanted to kind of bring together both of our expertise to talk around a topic that I don't think gets discussed near enough. And that's, you know, the topic of ADHD, yes, as well, the topic of how do individuals with ADHD, like what are the barriers, what are the challenges they face in terms of personal finances and in terms of focusing and organizing those things. So I would just love to start off with you and introducing yourself and talking around ADHD more broadly, and then we get into the whole meat of the discussion.
Thank you, Keisha, for having me. And as you mentioned, I currently coach individuals with ADHD, and my company, Coaching with Brooke, works with all ages. So we actually start with students at age 8 and go all the way through age 80, but work with the parents as well if they're younger than age 8. We think it's important to instill positive habits earlier on in life so they receive less shame and get those tools to empower themselves. So yeah. I know so many times parents come to me and adults come to me and they say, oh my God, if I only got these tools when I was younger,
yeah,
what would life be like? So we start young and also start older for people with late in life diagnosis or people who are trying to overcome money challenges, job challenges, relationships, figuring out what's next for them in their lives, just general self-development, awareness on their ADHD. We've had the whole gamut of different individuals with suspected or current ADHD diagnoses.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And you got diagnosed later in life.
Yes.
And so I wanted to get from you what that was like and what led you to figure out what was wrong and how to get that diagnosis.
Yeah. So what really unlocked it for me was the self-development that I had for myself before I became a coach. So even though I was working with ADHDers since 2002, I didn't see myself as someone with ADHD. And then I went through a group coaching course that wasn't even specifically on ADHD, but for the first time in life, I spent time on figuring out who I was, who I wanted to become, how I was showing up with myself, with people, and got the tools to execute on bigger tasks. So I was just more aware of myself and my actions. And then when I was coaching adults with ADHD online in 2019, this was 6 months into my coaching journey, I realized that, whoa, I'm struggling with a lot of the same things that my clients are. So moving from coaching someone in a one-on-one setting, the coaching was great. Love the coaching, was very hyper-focused in on what they were saying. But then when I would have to shift my attention to do my note that's where the challenge started.
Right.
And then I had to go back to a different session. So shifting and sustaining that attention for long periods of time, I started noticing these things. And then I reached out to a psychologist in the field and she confirmed I did have ADHD combined type. And then I went to a psychiatrist who also confirmed it and I got treated with Adderall. My behavioral approaches at that point didn't really change because I was already receiving coaching and doing coaching. So I was able to figure out the tools that worked for me, thank God. But the medication was just an extra layer to help me sustain that focus on the things that I knew that I needed to focus on.
That's really interesting. And so, Brooke, can you just tell us, like, broadly, the challenges that someone with ADHD would have, an adult and a child, because you mentioned the tools that helped you and just kind of outline how those tools helped you.
Absolutely. So with ADHD, we have very often very creative ideas and we want to harness those ideas because when we have that creative energy, we are motivated to do the new thing. So sometimes we don't finish the thing that we've already committed to and we start a new thing. And the thing that we've already committed to, we've either lost interest or it was mundane or, you know, we don't even realize why we started it in the first place. So very often we can bounce from thing to thing. And I know you are a money coach and you help people with finances.
Yes.
One of the big things that I see in my clients is that they will make money, right? And then they'll spend it to invest on something else or whatever, but it gets them into debt. Mm-hmm. And then they have that ADHD tax where they, you know, forget that they're paying for a subscription or they forget about late fees and they might have the money in their account, but they just forgot that the deadline approached or they haven't paid their taxes in a few years because it's too overwhelming to get it together. So then they have all these interest payments and late fees on that.
Yes.
So there's a lot of shame that comes along with adult ADHD. And then in the students specifically, very often they have their parents and their teachers that act as an executive function to them and help them organize, help them plan. And then they might not get the tools that they need into adulthood. So that's
right.
Why the ADHD and executive function coaching is really important so they can learn the tools that work for their brain, meaning they can help organize at home, at school. They can understand how to plan their time, long-term assignments and tests. How do they break that down day by day to make sure that they study a little bit every day instead of coming to the test the night before and being like, oh my God, I forgot I have a test. Like, let me just read it all over the night before. But like, what does that even mean? That obviously isn't activating your working memory to the same extent as if you were to plan a few days before. So ADHDers very often work on chaos and deadlines and interest.
Uh-huh.
So it's rewiring that so they can have less stress.
Yes.
And more planning to plan, even though planning's not fun, it really does not take too long once you get a hang of it.
Yeah.
And you're able to free up so much stress, time, and anxiety. And also that routine and structure is essential for an individual with ADHD. We hate structure, mm-hmm. but thrive on it at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting because, you know, Brooke, I just don't see much of this being talked about in the media, even in the realm of personal finance or even financial literacy education, because like I feel like in the community, there's just this general sense of this big box and we're all the same and there's no real sense that, okay, we do have different struggles and we do have these different kinds of issues that we need to talk through and work through and need a different tool set. And that's why I was so interested in your work in terms of holistic wealth, because I can see where individuals with ADHD would have that extra hurdle in terms of organizing, in terms of their personal finances.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned a bit of that just now, and I wanted to ask you if we could delve further into that in terms of, you know, the challenges that they would face in relation to personal finance? Like, I know a lot of women listening into the podcast already work in the field, but they might not have a good sense of, well, what are the issues and how do I help someone who is struggling?
One of the big things is decision making. So we have so much emotional attachment to decision making because of the shame that we've experienced in the past, the working memory that you have to keep decisions and then go on to the next step of the decision, the next step of the decision, the next step of the decision in our brain. All of our executive functions are impacted by decision making. So sometimes we could just say, you know what? My brain is working on overload right now, and I'm just going to buy because it's bright, it's shiny. I don't want to make a decision. I'm just going to be impulsive, right?
Right.
And some other times we don't do the thing that we have to pay for. We don't invest. We don't, you know, meet with a financial advisor. We don't learn the tools for money management. Because it takes so much working memory and it takes so much sustained effort and initiation, all these things individuals with ADHD struggle with.
Yeah.
And on top of it, sometimes we don't want to expose ourselves that we might have difficulties with money management. We want to feel like we can control it ourselves and figure it out because of the shame surrounding potential debt or you know, not being good enough. So there's so much that goes into money management.
And I can just imagine, because just for the general population alone, it's one of the topics that people shy away from talking about money. I heard one statistic where it was 70% of women would prefer to talk about their own death than money. So I can imagine just how much more difficult it is for people with ADHD, just because it's just in the general population, just this sense of this very difficult topic in general, you know, that exposes us and exposes our vulnerable parts. And, you know,
and I think it also starts with the kids, because we're not learning money management in school. We're learning about things that sometimes we don't use into, like, with the life skills aspect is so neglected. And I didn't learn how to write a check until I was in my young 20s, which is pathetic to me.
Yeah.
I mean, even my stepkids, you know, they get money and they spend it on Fortnite and all these other things. Like, you know, we try to teach them how to save, but like it's the see it, want it, have to have it mentality as a child, right? Because children are very egocentric. And then when you become an adult, if you are in a relationship, money is the number one stressor in marriages. So how do you commingle money? My husband and I are both ADHDers. We have different buy cycles. We have different spending habits. Like, I am more reserved and he is more of the impulsive spender.
Right.
So how do you manage that as well?
Exactly.
You know?
Which is my interest in terms of both individuals and couples. And since you brought up that, Brooke, I'm just going to segue into that personal financial identity question, because you basically just brought it up with your husband and yourself. And I know you took the quiz on the Institute on Holistic Wealth website, and I just love to get your results and your views, because you did mention that even though both of you do have ADHD, you do have different spending and saving habits, which I think is hugely interesting. So can you just tell us what your results were and a bit around, you know, your money style?
So what came out was the minimalist.
And for you, does that ring true in terms of your money habits in the past and your spending?
You know what's interesting? I was always simple, in my spending and savings as far as investing. So I would be cash rich and asset poor, you know? And then my husband's the opposite. But in my past, because I was unhappy in my previous role as an administrator and living in New York before I moved to Florida, before I received coaching and I was single, I would spend impulsively. I would buy an expensive car impulsively just because I felt like it. I would buy very expensive bags impulsively. Now I'm a little different. So can someone's identity change in personal finances is my question.
Yes. So I've had so many people on the podcast, Brooke, who've told me that they've started off as an anxious spender, just an example, for instance, and now they're more kind of the risk-taking personality. And they kind of identified in themselves why they were so anxious around money. Maybe it was, you know, previous money messages from like parents or other significant others. And then wanting to become an entrepreneur, for example, and then realizing that they needed to take on more risk. They needed to be more bold and courageous with their money, and then transition from kind of that anxiety, that anxious spender, to more of like a risk taker. So I've had that. So absolutely. And you mentioned something that I found so interesting, in that you mentioned back then that past propensity to want to spend impulsively. And I'm wondering if it's because of your self-development and growth around developing those tools to deal with the ADHD. And that's why I think this is so interesting. Absolutely. And why this conversation is so important for so many people out there. And why I want to have you on so much, because I want you to kind of explain. And I know you'll get into that now, because that's the other aspect of it, right? Is that if we identify certain tendencies, like I think most of us sometimes have a tendency to be impulsive. I know I did after my husband died, for instance, you know, and I became widowed. It was years ago. I felt that propensity to want to spend, to kind of, you know, not cover up, but to
build
you
the
know,
wounds.
Exactly. And I did, to be honest with you, Brooke, like I did start to feel less confident, even as an economist, around my money. I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? So I feel like for many of us, right, that how we spend, and regardless of our identity, our financial identity, sometimes has to do with, right, those big life-changing events.
Life,
exactly. So I know, you know, we just mentioned the tools a while ago, and you, in terms of your personal experience dealing with ADHD and that impulse that you mentioned. So how can people, once, let's say they identify a certain kind of tendency?
Yeah, I think that one big thing is just feeling more confident in yourself. Because when you feel more confident and you have the dopamine and serotonin flowing in a more regular way, which many ADHDers don't, then you won't have that need to receive dopamine as frequently. So I still sometimes struggle with this. If I'm not getting enough sleep, or my eating and drinking habits are bad, that my dopamine levels are out of whack. So people with ADHD don't get that regular dopamine hit like neurotypicals. People with ADHD either have a very high surge of dopamine or a very low amount of dopamine. So when they have a very low amount of dopamine, they're underwhelmed. They could be overwhelmed. They can also be at a place where they're seeking dopamine. So when you're seeking dopamine, when you buy something and you get something new, that drops dopamine. That continues to drop dopamine. So, I mean, think about how many people on Amazon are just constantly buying things that they don't really need, but it just feels good. It's like a hit of dopamine, and then they get it, they get to open it, and they might not ever use it, and they might not return it, because that's a whole other thing. But yeah, that is something that we have to monitor. And like I said, I sometimes get there. Like the other day, I was exhausted. I didn't sleep well. And all of a sudden, I started just thinking about, what can I buy? Let me search on Amazon and see like what type of new desk I can get, or what kind of sponge I can get, or what about a new rug? Like, just keep thinking from that like emptiness, that gap mindset. And I don't need any of those things. So what ended up happening was I did, just for fun, search, and then I just left it in the cart and I didn't buy. And for me, that was still enough at that point, because I knew I didn't need it. And I knew what was happening to my brain at that moment.
So Brooke, so let's say someone has ADHD, they're struggling with their money, with keeping up, with doing all these things we're talking about. How can they then empower themselves?
I think that if they have some sort of system that they feel confident with, they're not going to figure out the answer right away on how to, you know, figure out the tools. But for instance, I had someone who was 3 years behind in taxes, and we worked on couching up one year at a time.
Yeah.
And eventually, after several months, she finally was caught up. And that helped create more confidence in her finances, but also in herself, because she felt like she had taken on this huge weight off of her shoulders, but little by little. So breaking things down and seeing how the tools are going to be different for everyone, but seeing what the problem is in front of them, and then figuring out, okay, do I need to break things down into small steps with accountability? Do I need to, you know, figure out my optimal focus time? Do I need to figure out my emotional regulation? Like, how do I get that straight so I'm not spending as much? What is happening? What are these exterior stressors in my life that's getting in the way that's doing this? Can I do something once I have that impulsive thought that I need to buy? Like, can I, you know, put a reminder out in front of me, like wait 24 hours or leave it in the cart and see if I'm just as excited about it the next day? There's so many different things, but I think the biggest thing is getting the information out of your head and onto paper so you can start with that 1% action towards your goal and have that accountability. So I talk about that in an upcoming book that I'm going to be publishing hopefully in the next couple of months about overwhelm and underwhelm and how to get away from the distraction and the disruption to really feeling like you have that determination and you have that ability to achieve whatever it is that you need to in small steps, which is really hard for individuals with ADHD.
Yeah, no, and that sounds amazing in terms of tools that are so needed. And especially when we talk about like this issue as well that most people struggle with, people with ADHD. And so, Brooke, I wanted to touch on trauma and money trauma. I do some coaching around money trauma, and I just wanted to get your sense or your thoughts. You've coached so many people, and I want to get your sense of the intersection of ADHD and trauma, and see if we could touch on money trauma somehow. But I would just love to explore that a bit with you before you go.
This is a very touchy subject. So I had Dr. Gabor Mate on my podcast, Successful with ADHD, and he talks a lot about trauma and ADHD and the intersection. So in his opinion, everyone with ADHD has trauma, and that is how their ADHD is developed. That isn't scientifically proven. So some trauma scientifically is then leading you to ADHD, but not all trauma. So in my opinion, people with ADHD, we've experienced the most amount of trauma based on these little things that stack up over life, right? Because we're highly sensitive.
Yeah.
So someone could say something to you, Keisha, and you don't have ADHD, let's say, right? And you might just be like, doesn't bother me, right? Like your shirt's black.
Right.
Okay. Does that bother you? Maybe not.
No.
But then someone with ADHD, I know this is a terrible example, but like someone with ADHD might be like, you know, get defensive about it.
Right.
And those little things can stack up and cause trauma over time because we're highly sensitive.
Yeah.
We also might experience more trauma because we don't know how to regulate our ADHD and manage it. And because of that, then we don't have those tools as a child to bounce back from whatever shame or failure that we experience, right? And then we get bullied and we kind of seek that type of negative message because negative feedback is feedback, right? And so if we're not getting attention, negative attention is better than no attention in some people's opinions.
Yeah.
So sometimes we seek that and then get bullied. So I think the percentage of amount of people with trauma, I think it's 70% of individuals with ADHD experience trauma, adults with ADHD.
Wow. But that's hugely interesting. And I'm glad we had the chance to touch on that.
Me too.
Because as I said too, I've been doing more and more work around money trauma as well. So that's an area that I'd love to explore more. But Brooke, it was amazing having you on the show.
Same here.
Yeah. Thank you so much
for
shedding light on this. And I feel like there's so much more we could do around this and so much more that's needed to serve the population well. But before you go, can you just tell the audience where they can find you, your website and social media?
Yeah, sure. So everything is Coaching with Brooke with an E. So coachingwithbrooke.com, coaching with Brooke. We have a huge Instagram following. Yes. And I think that's where you first saw me.
Yes.
We post daily bite-sized tips and tools for ADHD. If you are curious, if you have it, we have an informal assessment on our website. We also do ADHD and executive function coaching, as I mentioned earlier on, for all ages. So parents, children, and adults. And we do it in a one-on-one setting, a group coaching setting. We have many different programs to help with tools surrounding ADHD and emotional regulation. So just go to coachingwithbrooke.com with an E or any social media platform, Coaching with Brooke.
Awesome. And we'll put some of that in the show notes as well so everyone can find them. And once again, I thought this was amazing, Brooke. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. Really insightful. I'm sure so many people benefit from this. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Keisha.
The Holistic Wealth Podcast with Keisha Blair is brought to you by... Have you joined the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Choose your membership plan at the Institute on Holistic Wealth /memberships to join. As a member, you'll get access to free worksheets, advice, coaching, and an intentional design workshop. As you start to live a more holistically wealthy lifestyle, you'll want to stay for a very long time. So go to Institute on Holistic Wealth /memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning best-selling Holistic Wealth 36 Life Lessons to help you recover from disruption, find your life purpose, and achieve financial freedom. We'll be right back.